Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. Hi. Is this thing on?
Yep.
Is it on? Well, the title is Seeing is Believing, and I'd like to introduce a fabulous, gorgeous lady who's lost tons of weight, Tova.
Wow. Hi, everybody. My name is Tova, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Boy, am I. So, are there any other compulsive overeaters here in this room? I just want to know that I'm in a safe room. That's really good. Always important. Okay. So it says here, read before you begin. Sign the release on the table before you begin. So anybody who's going to talk eventually, because we're recording, just at the end, if you can just come on up and sign. Because I want people to participate, and I want everyone to kind of get involved. I want to hear your input on things. The other thing is that you have to speak onto the mic. So that means that whenever we have the speaking time, you'll just come up and you'll talk, okay? And don't feel intimidated, because we're all human and we're all here under the same roof, under the same God, you know, just helping each other. And that's why I love these conventions. I love retreats. I love meetings. I love talking to people one-on-one, because I know that the person on the other end, or the people out there, if it's one or it's 3,000, are in the same boat as I am, to most of the extent. And I see you nodding your head, so I guess you agree with me. In terms of my bio, I could just say that I am from Los Angeles, Sherman Oaks to be specific. So it's the San Fernando Valley. We have a lot of Valleyites here. I just met a wonderful lady, Lori, who is from Korea, Seoul, Korea. Is that awesome? So I think she wins the prize for the farthest, probably. But it's just great to meet people from all over and be here. I have been in the program since my daughter was 4, and she was born in 83, so 1987. I cannot say continuously, because I have been out and in. More in than out, though, I could say I have had 8.5 years abstinence. That was my longest abstinence. Currently, April 19th, 2009 is my date, so that's 2 years and, 3 months, something like that, of back-to-back abstinence. But even during that whole time, I have to say that, thank God, I never took back the sugar or the flour for any length of time, a couple of days at the most. So my initial weight loss is 65 pounds, and I can say that 65 pounds I've struggled with for years and years and years, until I finally, I'm not going to say licked it. See, right away in my head, my addict mind wants to say licked it. No. Unfortunately, I licked it too much in order to not lick it. But I finally found the solution. I found the solution, no question about it. And the solution is here. And I know that the solution is here and nowhere else. And when I have a sponsee that comes to me and says, ugh, it's too hard and I can't do it, then you know what? Maybe I'll do half, and they want to do their own program. You know, Miss X wants to do Miss X's program. I remember this one sponsee, I said to her, maybe you need to go out and do more research on eating. Because I know that I did have to go out of the program a little bit and do research. I remember being in New York and spending 2 weeks doing lab research. And in New York, there are many labs to do research in. Oh, my God. Yes, and many things, vials and things to play with in that lab, in every lab. And, you know, I can gain weight in a flash. I can look at food and the seafood diet. Seafood and you gain weight? No, ba-dum-bum. I can gain weight in a flash. But it's not the weight. It's the thinking. All of a sudden, my thinking goes wild. And once it goes wild, I know. But thank God this program, for all these years, since 1987, when it was O.A. Howe, planted the seed, so that I knew, even while I was doing all that other research, and it did work, everything worked. See, that's the tricky, insidious part, is all those programs outside there work. Of course they do. you know, you lower your calories and you, or you do exercise, you don't exercise, you know, you eat the packaged food, you spend a fortune for this artificial crap, and then, and you eat it and you pretend to like it and you tell people, oh yes, it's really very good, you know, it's quite filling and satisfying, and it's just bull, you know, and we're lying to ourselves. I was lying to myself, there's no question. And then what happens? I lose the weight, I get really cocky, I get very egocentric, and by the way, all of those diets, I just have to say, I never got down to this weight. And I'm wearing white pants, ladies and gentlemen, because I never wore white pants in public. Because at 65 pounds heavier, you don't wear white. Well, you could wear white pants. I didn't have enough self-esteem. I'm not going to say you can't. I didn't have enough self-esteem to feel okay in that. Black was my friend. And I purposely did not bring one black item to this convention, just for myself. And I'm, you know, I look good in black. Black's good. Black, sexy, whatever, you know. But I didn't, because that was my go-to. That was my place. And that's how I felt about myself in my head. So, and by the way, I grew up a fat child, and I did struggle with weight for years and years. So tonight I'm being a fashion model, and I never did that before. And everybody always told me you ought to do it and participate in your own recovery. And so I was asked to lead this workshop. That's why it says ACEA How Member on there, because I was asked while I was in Boston a week and a half ago. And I said yes, because I was taught in this program, if you can do it, that's all. Step up to the plate. And the same thing with the fashion show. Somebody suggested it, and I said, okay. And I stepped up to the plate. And so the picture that is going to be up there, it doesn't even look like me. It's such a disconnect. But not even outside. I mean, my hair was dark, yes, and I was enormous. And I was hiding behind my baby because this was in the 80s. And this was before the CEA How, and I had struggled with that amount of weight since I was a kid. I was a chubby. I was called, instead of Tova, I was Tubby Tova. Right, in the heart. And I see all those sad pictures of me as a child, and I'm still working on compassion for that little girl. Oh, isn't she a little fat, pretty, you know, I just have a hard time. I have a tough time having compassion for that little girl. And yet that little girl gained weight because of the chaotic environment around her. And food is my friend. And growing up, it could have turned into cocaine and heroin, and it didn't. It was just food, but just food is not just. It's all-encompassing, and it affects me, and it affected me in a huge way. And I look at that picture where I was lying to myself, trying to hide, because the only time I ever let anybody take a picture of me was with a baby in front of me. Any baby. And at the time, it was my little girl baby. And now, a little girl baby's like 12 pounds, 14 pounds, so you'll see if you come tonight. And, you know, there's this much of me and this much of me, and I think that that baby is covering me. In my head, that's where I was. That's how I saw myself. So that brings me to the title of this workshop, which they told me was Seeing is Believing, CEA Seeing. And I thought to myself, boy, that opens up a lot of channels. I could talk about the steps, traditions, or tools. And I decided to talk about the tools, because the tools is the blueprint. It's what we do on a daily basis. That's what keeps me present and functioning. I'm a great student. I'm very academic. I was a straight-A student. That was one of the ways I got people to like me, especially adults. I people pleased, so I had to be a straight-A student, and I stepped up to the plate. And so the steps and the traditions, I read them and I do the reading and the writing, and it's really important. And, of course, that's part of the tool. But for me, it's that daily constancy, the constancy, not variability, not negotiation in my head, which I'm really good at. I could have been a lawyer. You know, everybody always tells me because I'm a great negotiator, but it always does me in. My boyfriend has a great saying, who you'll meet at this convention, too clever by half. That's me. I am so clever, I'm too clever by half, and that's what it gets me. So when we say half measures, that's when I'm too clever. And too clever means fighting, outsmarting the program, saying, well, why? I have sponsees who go, but, you know, calorically, 4 ounces of that and 8 ounces of that. I mean, calorically, it really is the same. So, and some of you know that, right? And we've all, it's not just fun seed. We've done it. So why can't we have 8 ounces of that? No? And then you say, no, wait a minute, wait a minute. I did that already. Been there, done that. Too clever by half, and that's a half measure. And it avails me nothing. So that brings me to the seeing is believing. I love words. And see, C-E-A, and see is a homonym, right? Isn't that what it's called in English, right? Am I right? Yes, a homonym. And so, first of all, I wanted to look at what see is. What does it really mean? And I thought about it and thought about it, and I looked it up too, because, of course, I'm academic. But seeing is our perception. How we see. It's our perception. And the interesting thing is, if you think about it, whatever our perception is becomes our reality. Chuck C. said it in A New Pair of Glasses, which I borrowed from my sponsor. Our perception is our reality. So how we see things is what is for us. It's a subjective reality. That's what's kind of screwy about it. Because in this disease, in this addiction, our reality is not necessarily the real reality. There's the objective reality and there's the subjective reality. And that's my lens. And that's the new pair of glasses. And that's what this program taught me. So when we change our perception, when I changed my perception, I changed my reality. Like, what a concept that is. And that's a shift that could happen like that. Exactly like turning on and off a light switch. Sometimes it happens over time, but if we make a decision to turn our will and our loves over to the care of God, we can do it like that. We can change our perception. Now, maybe we won't be used to it and we'll want to go back to old ways, and that's what takes time. The muscle memory of that takes time. But the changing our perception is a decision, and we can do that quickly. So that's how we change our reality. So actually, if you think seeing is believing, it could be believing is seeing. Couldn't it be? What we believe is actually what we see and how we choose to see it. And I like to say believing is seeing. Believing is see-howing, seeing, C-E-A. So what I envision in my mind, if that's my reality and I want to be healed, I have to envision that in my mind. I have to envision healing. You might say, oh, that's the power of positive thinking and that's the law of attraction, the secret. I mean, we can talk about all these things in the Course in Miracles, and I could go on and on, and I'm not touting any of those, believe me. And they may be great. But that's not what this is about. That's not what this convention is about. That's not what this program is about. This program is using these steps, traditions, and tools in order to get to that point. So however I visualize myself is going to affect change, real change. We have to be willing to change, because change, by definition, means being different. We have to be different. That's hard, isn't it, guys? Different is hard. Different means we have to let go of what we're attached to as our identity. Oh, my God. I cannot tell you how many things I'm attached to as my identity. The problem is, maybe you'll relate to this, my identity has been formed over the years through the lens of that little fat kid that turned into the fat teenager, that turned into the fat adult who had problems with addiction. What kind of identity does that end up being? It's skewed. And, you know, beyond it, I did really well for myself. I went through life with a machete. Like a jungle. Whack, whack. And as I got older, the machete got bigger. As the jungle leaves got thicker and thicker. I did. And I just fought my way. But that was my identity, and that's what I was attached to. And that's what I had to learn in this program through all these tools and steps and traditions and through the inventory to let go of. And I recently did my fourth fourth step, my fourth inventory, and gave it away. What a nice relief. And I said things I'd never said in public because I felt safe enough to do that, thank God. Sponsor's sitting here. So our vision can be distorted by our belief system, and that's the problem. My identity, my self-identity, how I see myself is distorted. So if we talk about seeing, we can see things on three levels. The physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. Talks about it, right? In the steps and in the big book. There are three levels. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. And to me, it always goes from shallower to deeper. You may not agree with me. That's my own opinion. Okay. But albeit shallow, I want to look hot. I want to look good. I'm doing the fashion show tonight. That's a reality. I want to walk around. I want to feel really good. I like going out to a store now and shop. I love to shop now. You know, if I even gain 5 or 10 pounds, I don't like, all of a sudden, I feel like the fat girl again. It's not realistic, 5 pounds. It doesn't make that much difference. But for me, it's in my head. Okay. So the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual is how we see. And the other three components, so it's complicated seeing. It's really complicated. Is, first of all, how we see everything outside of us. So here I am with my eyes, and I see all of you. Everything outside, and I see the convention. Hi, Michelle. And I see all of you. And it's how I see you, which, again, is by my belief system. Now, how I see all of you can affect how you see me. So if I have a negative view of the world and a negative perception, and if I can think everyone's out to get me, you ever have that? It's a big rock, isn't it? Everybody's out to get me. So how do I act? Defensive. What? Hostile. Angry. Okay. Then, how's that going to affect the people around me? How they see me? Are they going to want to be my friend? They're going to run away from me. Do you see the chain reaction that I create as a ripple effect? Really crazy, it's deadly, it's dangerous. Then, when they act, one more level, when they act hostile to me and they don't want to be my friend, what do? See, I was right. My view of the world is nobody can be trusted. And it justifies my negative view of the world. And so it goes. Around and around and around. What a vicious cycle. And I do emphasize the word vicious. Vicious against me. Because I hurt myself in the deepest way. That's just one example. You can think of a ton of examples which are self-sabotaging. I've had tons of them where I have sabotaged myself. And I do it to myself. How do I get out of the cycle? This is the answer. This is my solution. And it starts with how I see. That's why the seeing is believing, or believing is seeing. My belief system, that's what it starts out with. That's why I must be honest, open, and willing. That's why I love the HOW acronym. And I'll get to acronyms later, because this is going to be a lot about acronyms. I love that. So, let's get to the tools, shall we? How are we doing time-wise? 25-23. I could talk forever. And you know why? Not because I'm a compulsive talker, but because I love this program, and there's a lot to say. So I've been in it a long time, and I've seen a lot, and I continue to grow. Continue to grow and be lit by it. First of all, I do have to say in public, and I'm going to, I just turned 60. Did I just say that in public? Okay, now, you may not think that's a big deal. You may not think that's a big deal. My boyfriend, who is 47, I think he just turned 47, who's with me here at the convention, says, you should skywrite it! You know, and I'm like, because I think people are going to judge me. That's my belief system. What a dumb belief system. He says, are you kidding? you know, and I walked into a birthday party and somebody said to my daughter's friend, and somebody said, I want to know who her doctor is. Well, I've never had surgery. I've never had anything. I actually have thought about it. But, you know, like, I've never done anything. And then another person said that. Boy, that was a good job. Good job. You know, and it's good genes, but it's this program. Because since, as I said, the 80s, I really haven't had to pick up the sugar in the flour that for more than a few days. For that long a period of time, I know that my body is cleansed. My body is cleansed, and it's helped so much, making me look healthy. And when I went through menopause, and I went to a menopause seminar because I was waking up in the middle of the night, all these women were complaining about mood disorders and hot flashes and all of that. And me personally, I didn't suffer from any of that. I really didn't. But I was abstinent, like, the whole time through that. And finally, I raised my hand. She said, has anybody not had that? And I raised my hand. I was like the only person in the room, practically. And I told her that I don't eat sugar and white flour. And she said, you know what? That has a lot to do with it. So just for that alone, and guys go through menopause, too, by the way. So if you're a guy, just know that there is some midlife crisis. There is a chemical reason why you go crazy. There really is. But I'm saying that out loud because I'm not aging gracefully. And I am and I'm not. I have a grandbaby who's almost 5 months, and I call myself Sasha because nobody knows what it means, except for Gayula and, yes, and Laurel, but my new friends. It just means nice friend. oh, nice friend. Oh, yes. And I play that she's my baby because some people do that, and I'm very complimented. And, you know, oh, how old is your baby? Because they figure, you know, I'm in my 40s, and I know. And then my daughter comes on to the stroller, and I go, and I walk away because like, I don't want to tell. And then I go, all right, it's hers. And I have fun with that. I really have a good time with that. I do. But I got to use this program for the aging thing, too. So the first thing I'm doing is outing myself and telling you how old I am. And I may continue or not. Don't tell anybody. But if I choose to tell them, okay, because that's anonymity. And I'm serious about that. Because it's my head. I'm crazy. I am. Oh, my God, I'm being recorded. I'm so... I bleeped myself out. What? Okay, thank you for that, Julianne. Thank you, Christine's believing. Thank you. Okay, so are you having? I'm having a great time. I promised somebody it would be fun, and they go, "Can you promise me?" I love this program. So you just have to like smile and have fun. I have more fun with this program than I do in my life. I mean, because this is my life, and that's really what it's about. And I said, a few months ago, I sat in a room and I was going through hell. I had just not renewed my contract with my job, and I'm going through medical issues and blah, blah, blah. And my son is left to, and I'm empty nesting. He's 20 years old, and he's in Boston at Harvard. I mean, you know, poor guy is at Harvard. It's a terrible problem. Terrible problem. But I'm empty nesting. That is. That's a loss. That's a loss. So I was experiencing a bunch of loss and some issues. And I sat in the room and I looked around at the people and I said, when I pitched, I think this is the safest place for me on the planet. I love a lot of people, and a lot of people love me. I adore my daughter. I adore my son. But this is the safest place for me on the planet. And I have tears in my eyes. Because I feel like I can tell you guys anything. And you're not going to use it against me. And you're not going to judge me, and you're not going to criticize me, and you're not going to blame me. And if you do, you're sick. And you'll probably make an amends. So that's okay, too. Isn't that funny? That's what I like to ad-lib. I never know what's going to come out. Okay, so let's go over the tools in case you don't know what they are. And of course you do. So let's go over them, and I just want to share with you for a second on each one how they've helped me. Okay, so the number one thing is the food plan. Now, it's interesting that that's number one, isn't it? Because that's the thing that got us into trouble. Thank you. Is the food. Oh, I'm cool. Thank you. So that's the thing that got me into trouble, is the food. Now, it was because of all of these other things. But you know what? A new person coming in, you can't deal with all the other things. It's too daunting. Who would do it? I wouldn't do it. Oh, my God, I'm going to change my identity. I'm going to work on character defects. That would be ass backwards. You can't do that. Can I say ass? No. But the food I can relate to. Because I've been on diets, and I know how to do that. I can do that. I can follow that. Boom, 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 rigid. I'm a good student. Right? And so that's why we start with the food plan. It's the easiest. It's the most shallow, let's say, but it's the easiest. And it's core. And it'll bring me in. And that was brilliant. That when they talked about the tools, they talked about that. So the food plan was crucial. That was the beginning. And that's something to follow. Then the literature and writing. Okay, following instructions. Reading and writing. It's like, yes, master, I will do that. That's not, I can be obedient. My sponsor, okay, you're going to call me every day at 7 a.m. and you're going to do a question. I can do that. I can do that. And nobody's going to judge you on your answer. Oh, I don't get a grade on it. Wow, there's no right or wrong answer. Oh, wow. You can write as little or as much as possible. I tell those people that. Hoping they don't write like 7 pages and it's like 7 in the morning, you know. And I've had sponsors like that. And when I first started, I suffered from codependence too. So I was their therapist. I was. And I learned not to be. I learned to transmit the principles of the program and sponsorship. But that's the literature and writing. I can do that. That's following directions. So again, that's an easier thing. The third tool, anonymity. Ah, I can feel safe. It's a big one for me, guys. Because out in the world, I'm pretty visible with what I do. I'm a musician, and I will out myself on that, because a lot of people know that. And I am, in a certain world, publicly visible. And, you know, I'm out there. I like the anonymity. I really like, it's more than, you know, it's more than people knowing my secrets. Some of that is that. But it's also me not being defined. It's that identity thing as Tova the, blank, 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 blank. Like if you're an accountant, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're, you know, whatever you are, a paralegal, a receptionist, I don't know, whatever you might be. Cosmetology, you're defined as that, how good you do that thing. And then if you don't have that thing, then you're no good anymore. It's really weird how we attach ourselves. I hear that's your story. It's true. Here, right here in this venue, I'm Tova. Am I Tova the anything other than the compulsive overreader? No, I'm just Tova. Who I really am. And compulsive overreader is not an identity I took on. It's who I am, who I was born as. That's clear. Because the same shit could have happened to other people. Ooh, can I say that? The same stuff could have happened to people and other people, and they wouldn't have eaten. They might have done something else or not. But I ate. So, obviously, in the womb, I was compulsive overreader. I had the potential and the DNA for all of that. There's no question. Not to mention, my mother is a compulsive overreader. My brother is a compulsive overreader. My grandmother, I mean, on and on. Cousins, everybody struggled in my family. A few got away unscathed, but most of them, yeah. My mother died of this disease, by the way. She turned 70 and dropped dead. Let me just say. We didn't know why. She lived on sugar. Canned stuff that she drank, and cartons of things in the freezer. She lived on it. That's how she hid her emotions. And I watched that, and it got worse and worse and worse. And she lost her teeth, and it was pretty tragic, and it was very chaotic. And she dropped dead, and we didn't know why. But it was from this disease. I don't want to follow in those footsteps. That's not a legacy that I want to continue. So anyway, anonymity, that's the safety of being just me. Telephone calls. Now, this is a hard one. I'm glad it's fourth in the thing, and they don't say right away the fault, because that's, like, really daunting. Calling people, outreaching. This is a disease of isolation. None of us really want to call each other. Want to. We do, but we don't really want to sometimes, you know, or reach out. We want to just stay in a hole, right? I think most of us. I do. Or my isolation is not staying in a hole. I can still be out in the world, but I'm a hole inside myself. I crawl into the hole inside myself, and then my face to you is, everything's fine. Everything's perfect. There's no problem. Yes, hi, I'm fine. I'm great. Dying inside. What a disconnect that is, getting farther and farther away from myself. So, outreach calls, calling your sponsor, that's what that does. Gets us out of ourselves, out of our isolation. And then coming to meetings, so we can pitch and share. Relief. And tell everybody the good and the bad and the ugly. And the ugly is okay too. And then, 3 minute positive pitches. And that doesn't that grate everybody in the beginning? Because it's like, what do you mean positive pitches? Negative stuff happens in my life. Stuff. That's the word, stuff. I just figured out how to make that work. We'll all just say stuff from now on. And they'll go, I heard it at a time. I learned that from Tova. So, I learned about flipping the switch. It's the seeing, back to perception. Okay, so all that negative stuff happens in my life, and yet, how do I see it? How do I respond to it? But I still call it as it is, and I embrace it. I don't hide it and go in denial and go, no, nothing's wrong, everything's fine. See, that's the difference. People out in the outside world don't really get that, by the way. The normies, they don't really understand that. But really, in here, I think the longer you're here, the deeper you understand, or I understand, that flip of the switch. And then this service. Really getting up and not saying no. Like I said at the beginning, I just don't say no. I'm asked to lead. Now watch somebody ask me to lead like in Palo Alto and get on a plane. And you said you would do anything, you know, no half measures. And maybe it's a nice place to visit, you know. It would bring me to a different place, but service is important on any level. I wanted a meeting in the Valley, and I'm plugging the meeting, when I say my meeting, our meeting, in Encino, in the Valley, and I needed a meeting on Thursday at 6:30, and there was one in Granada Hills, and it was a really perfectly good meeting, and I'm sure there are people in here who go there in the Valley, and yet it was too far, and it was a little late, it was 7 o'clock, and so I was being selfish in a way. I needed a meeting at 6:30. Encino, and so I ended up getting a place and making one and creating it. And now, like, we've been having 26 people at the meeting, and it was like 2 and 3 at a time. And I thought, oh my God. And I sat and I looked around the other day and I went, if you build it, they will come. It's like crazy what that does to get out of yourself. And even I was doing it for myself, but I'm doing it for, and everybody's thanking me. Thank you for doing this. It was like, yeah, I am doing it for them too. And wait a minute, service is to me and to them. It's like loving myself, I can love you. And it's not selfish. Ultimately, it's not. It was taking care of myself. And I didn't learn the difference between taking care of myself and being selfish. Sometimes I don't know the difference. Can you relate to that? Like sometimes we think we're selfish when we're really just taking care of ourselves. I am learning that in the program. It's okay. But we don't have to do it with anger. See, because when I was taking care of myself, right, when I was selfish or avoiding being, this is it, when I was avoiding being selfish, trying to avoid being selfish, and then all of a sudden feeling like I was resentful, and then I needed to take care of myself, so I started to set a boundary in an angry way, right? Instead of in a loving or a sweet way. That's the difference. I don't have to take care of myself in an angry, resentful way. I can do it in a sweet and loving way. That's the cool part. Isn't that cool? I learned so much from this program. Gosh, and I'm sure you do too. And then finally, sponsors. I finally get past my 30 days and I sponsor. And then I sponsor not just food. I get past the inventory and then I get to be sponsoring an inventory and I get to listen. And then I get to sponsor in the steps. And then I get to sponsor in maintenance and really give to the world. and you guys. And it's just, the tools are amazing. They really are. That's a real gift of the sponsorship. I get so much more from my sponsees than I give to them. I know that. Because I hear wisdom every day. And when I hear them struggling, oh, does that help me? Because it's such a mirror. And I look at it and I go, oh, it's me. Oh, my God. I am so there. Or that could be me. It's amazing. So, getting to the tools, I thought it would be fun, because we have 25 minutes left, to, you know, it's going to break up into small groups, but I think I would rather just keep this as a group and have people talk and come up. So, I was thinking about this acronym thing, because I love, do you love acronyms? You guys know what the acronyms are, right? Okay, like, my favorite first one was FEAR, false evidence appearing real. Oh, no, we have more time than that. Oh, good. Maybe we will break into groups. Okay, false evidence appearing real. I loved that. I thought that was great. And then I thought, you know, I can make up acronyms. Oh, I heard another one at a meeting. Now I have to share this one. WAIT, W-A-I-T. Like, if you want to say something, but then... Like, I've learned to take pause and just not blurt it out, not say it. That's been a gift, too. Sometimes, you know, in the foot in the mouth. Why am I talking? Isn't that funny? Does that tickle you? Wait. Why am I talking? Great. And then I thought to myself, wait. Oh, the weight. Having the weight on, why am I talking? You know, it's just kind of interesting. And then I thought about the word tool. Is that an acronym? And then I came up with, during the last panel, while I was waiting for them, to open our lives. Tool. To open our lives. And if we say tools, we could say substantially. To open our lives substantially. So I thought, what a fun game. If you're wordies, are there, do we have wordies here? People who like words, yeah? Oh, good. Well, we have, I call her Mother Goose. What is your name? Q. Oh, of course it's Q. You were so adorable last night. You know, we really are having fun. You'll be sorry. He said, are we going to have fun? You're going to promise? You guys having fun?
Yeah.
See? Okay, so, yes. To open our lives substantially to all. So I'm a wordy and I really, really like that. So this is what I thought. I thought we could break up into seven groups. There are seven tools. So let's count how many people there are. And what I like is that you talk to people like you never talk to. And so while Michelle's counting, we'll break up and just kind of turn around in your chairs. You know, you kind of figure it out. You can turn your chairs around. We'll figure, yes. Okay. In the middle, in front of the table, fives. Fours is in the corner over there. Okay, we didn't get to that yet. We're just on four. This is like in an airplane where you load group one, group two. Okay, so fours are over there. If you want to grab a chair, you can. You don't have to sit. Okay, fives by the table in the front, in the back there, rather. Five. Do we have room in the corner there for six? By the water? Okay, those are six. You can sit down over there if you want. Six. Yes. In the corner there. Okay, and then let's just say seven in the middle aisle over here. So that, okay, and if you want to sit, that's fine. Near, chair nearby or whatever. Seven in the middle here. Sure. Okay. Well, you can. You guys said you wanted a stretch, but whatever. Grab some chairs. Okay. No. Okay. Is everybody settled? Good. That didn't take too long. Now, so what we're going to do is we've got our tools. Now, number one tool is what? Food plan. Number two, just let the two say it. Number two is Okay, number three is... Nope. Number three is... Are you guys threes? Anonymity. Okay, you see, you're going to remember number three from now on is anonymity. Okay, number four is... Very good. Number five is... Going to meetings. Okay. Number six is... Service. And number seven is... Sponsorship. Okay, so each one, each group, guys, hi. Okay, so each group has a number of a tool, and what I want you to do is I want you to share with each other. As I told you about the seeing, we see on a physical level, we see on an emotional level, we see on a spiritual level, right? And we see others. Others see us, and then we see ourselves, don't we? How we see ourselves. And that's our identity that I talked about, how we see ourselves. So for each one of these tools, I want you to share with each other and then record and write down what the miracles are of the seeing, of the believing is seeing. The seeing is believing, or the believing is seeing, but on those levels, on the physical level, on the emotional level, on the spiritual level, that which gives you ideas. You may not come up with everything. How you see the world, how the world sees you, how we see ourselves. So you have actually six possibilities of how to do that, and just write them down for each tool. Now, to sweeten the pot a little bit, if you guys can come up with an acronym to represent an aspect of the tool that we can take away from this workshop, that would be pretty cool. Which could be. Now, I actually came up with a few, but I'm not going to tell you. So, it can be done. An acronym for to represent the tool. Just sweeten the pot. So, go for it. We got about 10 minutes. Okie doke, go. Guys, you understand, 1 second, let me just clarify based on a question. You understand that the acronym is just an extra little cute thing that I think is a fun thing, but I also want to get out of it, what do we see as miracles out of that tool? On a physical level, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level that you can share with each other, and that includes seeing others, others seeing us, and we see ourselves. Get it? And then the acronym's like an extra fun thing as well. Okay. We need to wrap it up. 2 minutes. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up. Woo! Okay. Now, do you want to just stay put, or do we want to, why don't we just stay put, okay? But you could turn the chairs around so we could all look front. Let's all look front. Turn around so we're all kind of looking in the same place. Yeah. Okay. It's kind of fun, isn't it? Now, I warn you, this acronym thing, ever since I thought about it, I've like been thinking more and more of them. It's just a kind of a fun thing to do. But what it does is, for me, it always plants in my mind in a much better, deeper way, which when push comes to shove and I'm in trouble, I think the acronym all of a sudden, because it's a lot easier than thinking of some big thing, and then it just like helps. So hopefully this will actually help us. Okay, so let's have, who had tool number one? Oh, my God. Okay, so first we want to hear what you came up in. Are you the spokesperson? Okay, so let's tell us your name. And what we want to hear first, right, that's what I wanted you to hear. What we want to hear first is the seeing is believing and the believing is seeing part on the physical, emotional, spiritual level, how we see others, how others see us, how we see ourselves, what you learned from that, what have you seen, what miracles from that tool, number one, which is the food plan. And then if you have the acronym, let's have some fun.
Okay, what's your name?
My name's Stacy. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Stacy.
And we have food plan, and we talked about the foundation of our program. It's the miracle of clarity and freedom from bondage of self, from bondage of food. And then we came up with the acronym of Food Plan, FOODPLAN, Foundation of Our Day Provides Life and Nutrients. Food Plan.
Wow.
And nourishment. Our nourishment. Yes, because that's more spiritual as well as nutrition. So it's Foundation, Food Plan. S is for Foundation of Our Day Provides Life and Nourishment.
I love it. Fantastic.
And everybody has to sign who speaks. Yes. Okay. Anybody else from that group want to speak? Or tell us what miracles you've seen, etc.? No. Well, that was an awesome speech, and especially the acronym. That was really good. Foundation of Our Day Provides Life and Nourishment. Yeah. Bravo. Fantastic. Okay. Now, it's not really a competition, so you don't have to. If you didn't come up with something, that's okay, too, because it's also about the miracles. So who had number two tool? You did. Oh, and by the way, let me just say, I didn't come up with one for all of it because I just, whatever popped into my head. But at first I was thinking, at a food plan, meal. What a meal used to be for me. And I came up with masks, emotions, and love. And that's what the meal was for me. It masked emotions, or masked emotions and love. So I came up with that. The other thing that I came up with was the weighing and the measuring. Weigh, W-E-I-G-H. And I thought about this, by the way, when I was out at the buffet, whether I should use the scale or not. Willing to eat in God's hands. Willing to eat in God's hands. Now, I had a big edge on you. I didn't have like 8 minutes to think about it or 10 minutes. I've been thinking about it for a week and a half since I got the workshop. But I really, really like that. So maybe some of you can write that down too if that helps you. You know, you can take whatever you want and then leave the rest behind. So, number two, you guys are number two. Who's the spokesperson? Do we have one? Well, we got two Johns. This John? Okay, this John. John V. Come. Come on, John V.
John V. I'm a compulsive eater and food addict. Hi. Is this our acronym? Okay. So ours is on literature and writing.
RoboCops, stay out of trouble.
Anyway, ours was on literature and writing, and kind of the miracles we've seen. I've seen miracles in my own recovery because I was able to, using literature and writing, to maintain my abstinence in a place where there wasn't, you know, many meetings and stuff like that for 9 years or so. With just literature and writing and some Pone Ridge meetings. Hawaii?
In Hawaii.
Yeah, on Oahu. And now I have face-to-face meetings, so I'm happy again. The other thing is that mention was made is that we've seen that kind of the foundation of our program is the AA literature, and how pleased we are to see that, see how is continuing to use its literature rather than rewriting it like some other programs have done. We've seen physical re- recovery. What were you saying, John? I kind of missed some of your stuff. Yeah, let the other John talk here.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm John, compulsive eater.
Hi, John.
And, you know, it's writing for me has been, you know, accountability. And you know, the first 30 days, of course, you know, I was crazy, and I would take the time to write when I really wanted to eat. And so it got me out of the food, and it got me into the writing, and then I would have my food written down and then call it in the next morning to my my sponsor. And then I continued to do that, and I did my inventory, my steps, and then by that time, then I had lost the weight and then did the maintenance questions. And I still write because the sponsors I have want me to continue to write because they do. And you know, I have a sponsee that, you know, she's a full-service sponsor, and, you know, she says, God, you know, I hate to write. And I said, you know, so do I, but you know what? It's just part of taking action where I get out of myself and I get into it. And, you know, I'm doing the as-built questions, you know, and, you know, I read those, and some of them I don't even want to answer, but, you know, because maybe there's something I got to work on, you know. And there's always something to work on. And, you know, I'm a lot different than I was when I came in this program 11 years ago. And I'll probably be, if I stay here, a lot different than I am now. And I'm just making progress very, very slowly. And it's helped me a lot. But the writing has been one of the major tools to help me keep going. So that's what I got to say here. Anybody else in our group want to share?
Did you guys come up with an acronym?
Yes. Okay, John will get it.
Okay, we've got one. One other thing we saw is we see the recovery in the people that we sponsor who do their writing too, because someone else had mentioned that, and that the fact that we're tickled if there are some new questions for us to answer and write on after having gone through all the questions already. Okay, our acronym is basically Literature and Writing Makes You Safe, SAFE, which stands for Sustainable Abstinence for Everyone.
Whoa. Good one. That could go for anonymity, too. Couldn't it? Sustainable Abstinence for Everyone. God, I love that. Okay.
I knew this group would be clever and come up with good stuff. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you, Group 2. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Okay, Group 3, anonymity, right in front of me. Who is the spokesperson?
None other than you.
Yeah.
Okay, in our discussion we came up with now, because of anonymity, there's no need to impress anybody. We don't know, we don't know whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a garbage collector, a maid, or you own $1 million. You know, nobody, there's none of that comes out, because then we're all have a level plane of being a compulsive overeater. And so we shed all those external things, and we have a singleness of purpose and no more gossip. And that means even not even looking at those newspapers at the checkout stands, you know, and it takes away judgments. And we need to remember principles, not personalities. And that comes up a lot. And so when the personality starts to come up, we can just step back, and we got to say principles before personalities. And somebody told us that Dr. Wayne Dwyer said, when someone judges, it means that they showing their right. That it means that they have a need to judge. It's not that they're right. It means that they have a need to judge. And being anonymous makes it safe for everyone to be themselves. And we came up with anonymity, allowing nameless, non-threatening, open-minded neutrality. You might intend to trust and seek the wisdom of Yoda.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. I didn't think you'd go to the lengths of, like, the entire word. It could have been elements of, so just to let you know. That's awesome. Thank you, Q. please make sure that you speak into the mic, first of all, and that you sign the release when you come up. So thank you very much. So what did I come up with? I came up with SAFE, the word SAFE, S-A-F-E, because to me, safety is, you're right, literature and writing, but also anonymity. The SAFE keeps coming up. And for me, it was very simple, sharing around fellow eaters. Sharing around fellow eaters. And that's why I can be safe, because you're fellow eaters. Not everybody is. Okay, number four. Who's number four? Raise your hand. Woohoo! In the corner. Who's our spokesperson? It's Suzanne. Big surprise. Can we all give a hand, a huge hand to Suzanne? How awesome is she? Suzanne is my friend. She's your friend. She's my friend. I love her. And she is humble and egoless, just like incredible. Really, you are just, I'm sure you have ego too, but we don't feel it. You are giving service in a humble way. I love you.
Thank you. Suzanne, compulsive eater.
Hi, Suzanne.
Okay. And we focus on the miracles of telephone calls. So the miracles of the physical is action, of doing the action. The emotional is acceptance. The spiritual is love. How we see others is wonderful perception. And how others see us would be helpful. And mostly how we see ourselves is keeping connected. And that's it.
I did come up with an acronym for this. I like this one. CALL. I went to the simple four-letter, guys. CALL, C-A-L-L. Okay? You're going to shoot yourself when you hear. Contrary action. Did I? Yeah. Contrary action lessens loneliness. I liked it, right? Did you like it? Okay. Contrary action lessens loneliness, yes. I know. We're getting close. We got 5 minutes. Okay. Number five, meetings. Who's five? Eddie.
Well, obviously, physically, if you go to meetings, people are going to see you. You're going to see them. You're going to hear things. You're going to grow. You're going to expose yourself. You're going to see other people exposing themselves. You're going to share your emotional secrets, your thoughts, your beliefs. You're going to hear other people doing the same thing. And that itself is a spiritual activity, because you're not hiding. You're not hanging around and isolating. You're coming out of hiding, and you're opening and you're revealing yourself. All of those are spiritual activities. The other part of it is you get to see others. You get to see other people, how their absence affects them or their absence not affects them. You see their growth physically. You also see their growth psychologically. Also, you get allow other people to see you, to see inside of you, so you're exposing yourself. And you allow, and by doing that, you get more visibility in yourself, because the act of sharing yourself at a meeting allows you to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and continue going deeper into yourself and revealing yourself like peeling an onion. And the acronym we came up with for meetings is Miracle Ends Eating Together in Non-Judgmental Group.
Oh.
Want me to repeat that?
Yeah.
Miracle Ends Eating Together in Non-Judgmental Group. And she came up with that herself. Raise your hand. Oh, we did it again.
Non-judgmental group.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you, Eddie. You got a sign, honey. Good. That is fantastic. Yay! Yay, group five. Okay, my quick one is the word pitch, which is, of course, in a meeting. I came up with participate in truth cleansing the heart. participate in truth, cleansing the heart. This all comes from my heart, trust me, not my brain. Number six, service. Who's next? We got a spokesperson already. Woohoo!
Erica, compulsive overeater.
Erica. Hi, Erica.
Okay, we have, okay, physically attending meetings, being visible, speaking, sharing, that is being seen. Emotionally, we are gaining by receiving balance and dealing with life. And spiritually, we're feeling connected to God. Spiritually connected, we feel more connected to God. And our acronym is Seeing Everyone Recover Visibly is Certainly Exciting.
Wow.
Seeing everyone recover visibly is certainly exciting. Woo! I love that. These are so good. You guys are great. I'm so glad you decided to play along. Okay, last but not least, number seven, sponsorship. Oh, and by the way, mine, just quick, I had, this could be either for sponsor or service, is give, because obviously we give, and when you give, you gain immeasurable value every day. Notice every day is one word. Gain immeasurable value every day. I'm cheating, so I made it one word. Okay. Who's our spokesperson? Laurel.
Okay, so, you know what? My name's Laurel. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Laurel.
And you know what? This is so emotionally exhausting. I can't remember what we said about sponsorship because I was so obsessed with doing this acronym because I love words. So I'm just going to tell you our acronym. We discussed a lot. You know what we did? We were discussing a lot of different words for the acronym. And everybody threw out a whole bunch of words, and then I kind of took those words and I put them in different places and I arranged them because I love playing Scrabble and I love playing bananagrams. Okay, so this is spiritually patient, observant, nurturing, serene, open-minded, responsive, sharing, helpful, incredible person.
One more time. Okay, I'll say it.
Spiritually patient, observant, nurturing, serene, open-minded, responsive, sharing, helpful, incredible person.
Thank you so much. Yay, Group 7! So we're running out of time. I just want to wrap up and say that it's just a joy to participate in my own recovery with all of you. I feel like we're all one here. And enjoy the rest of the convention. Thank you.